Thank you, Lois. Well, we're in a series called Listen Up. I want to tell you a quick story, a blonde story. Is that okay? All the blondes said no, but oh well. There's a blonde woman. She was trying to get sleep, but the dogs in the neighbor's yard were just so loud she couldn't sleep. She told her husband, she said, you know what? If those dogs don't stop, I'm going to do something about it. Well, they didn't stop. They kept barking and barking. So she got up out of bed and she went downstairs and outside and came back and got in bed. And the dogs started barking louder than they were before. And her husband looked at her and said, honey, what did you do? She said, I went back there. I got the dogs out of their backyard and I put them in my backyard. We'll just see how they like it. Okay, that was bad. Can tell by your courtesy laugh. That's okay. I've said this before. You know how hard it is to come up with a story that all of you will laugh at every week? Okay. There's something that I want to show you in this series, Listen Up. There's really a theme that we're looking at in this series, and it's what and who I listen to will influence what I do. What and who I listen to will influence what I do. What and who I listen to will influence what I do. Say it with me. What and who I listen to will influence what I do. Have you ever been that place where you were about to make, you made a decision, you were going to do something, and you came across someone else, and they talked you out of it? There are people in our life that influence our attitudes, our actions, our behaviors. There are people in our life that can speak into our life or things in our life that can affect our life in a way where we have can have a good attitude or a bad attitude. I was reminded this morning, I had not put this in my notes, but while I was preaching in the first service, I remembered when my wife and I got married. And we got married in Iowa. And how many have ever seen that where the groom puts like cake in the mouth of the bride, you know, and jams it? And how many have seen that, right? Of course you have, because you're not from Iowa. And Iowa is kind of like Cuba. It's like enclosed. Like if you're, you know, no one in Iowa had seen that, but everyone from Wisconsin and other surrounding states had seen it, and everyone in Iowa had, you know, they're from Iowa. And so we're cutting the cake, and of course I always want to do that. So I took the cake and I pushed it into my wife's mouth, and of course she's an athlete, so she reflexed from it, and it slid into across her face and into the holy grail of her hair. Right? Just went in a little bit, not a lot. Just went in, but it went across, right? And so, you know, she was fine. Her attitude was fine. It was no big deal. It was kind of funny. And she's just like, you know, joking. Well, she went into the bathroom to clean it out of her hair where it had gotten in her hair, because it's supposed to be perfect, right? Now, this is after the wedding for all those ladies that are feeling for her right now. She went in there with, she was fine until she went into the bathroom with this woman who's a chatterbox, right? And she came out a different woman. Right? She all of a sudden had an attitude, and it just proved what or who you listen to will influence what you do. A lot of what you're going through right now, if you're not happy with where you're at in life, if you're not happy with some of the things taking place in your life, you have to stop, and one of the things you got to look at is, who am I listening to? Who have I given permission to speak into my life? Who has influence over my life? And that'll probably identify why you're ending up the way you end up. And what I'm going to do this morning is I want to take you through the second part of this series, talking about wisdom in this part of the series and what it means to our life. Now, have you ever put on headphones and tried singing to a song? You know, you got headphones on and you sing to the song, right? And everybody's like, shut up. Like, it's like terrible. It sounds terrible, but you're listening to it. Right? You're going to, how many, if you've never done that, how many have ever seen someone do that? right? And you kind of laugh at them when they're singing along. Our Pete, he's our maintenance guy. Every week, he does that. You'll hear him walking around singing some song that he's listening to, and he's listening. But you know what I've found to be true in seeing that and listening to that is no one knows the verses to any songs. Isn't that right? Everyone's like, yeah, love, yeah, my, can do it, yeah, my, right? And then they get to the chorus, and then they belt it out, right? Everybody knows the chorus. Nobody, and they're belting it, and it gets, right? Isn't that true, right? And my wife says, you make up songs all the time. I'm like, yeah, I'm a better songwriter than them. I think that word fit better there. But when we put on headphones, what really is going on is we're living in our world, and even though there can be bad people that we're allowing to influence our life, if we put on headphones, there are people God has put into our life that God wants to be there to speak to our life, and if all we do is isolate ourselves to only listen to what I think and what I feel is best, if that's what we're doing, then we're not listening to all of the advice and wisdom that God has for us. And last week we talked a little bit about that, is there being three people in your life at any given time that have permission and authority to speak into your life and to say things maybe that you do want to hear, but some things you don't want to hear, and are able to protect you. They're like an umbrella to you. You know they love you, then you know they care. And even when you don't agree with them, you still listen to them because you understand that they're there to protect you. One of the challenges I gave to you was the question has always been, who are those three people in your life that hear from God? And we talked about people who really hear from God. The question is, have you been a person that's heard from God for someone else? Are you one of those three to someone else? And God has not only called us to have three in community, to have community, but to be in community and to be a three to someone else, to hear from God for someone else, so that we influence other people because we've heard from God. And we talked about the story, Jehoshaphat, and who was the other one? Ahab, right? Okay. So what I want you to do is turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1. And if you don't have your Bible, you can ask the person next to you if you can borrow theirs. Proverbs chapter 1. Now, in this verse, what we want to look at is, what does it mean to listen to the voice of wisdom? What does it mean to listen to the voice of wisdom? That's what we want to look at. Solomon personifies wisdom as a woman. That is awful. Okay, I just started preaching, and all of you are like already disconnected, ladies. Ladies, I'm going to say it one more time. Solomon personifies wisdom as a woman. Yeah, all the guys stayed quiet. There ain't a guy that said amen at all. Ladies, that was your place to say, praise the Lord. Right? What am I saying? Solomon says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make wisdom, I'm going to talk of wisdom as if it was a woman. Okay? And so you're going to see in Proverbs chapter 1, he's going to call her she, wisdom she. Right? Now, how many ladies say, it's about time? Right? Okay, so look at Proverbs chapter 1. Woman, wisdom. Now, I just got my motorcycle permit last week. Now you hear this. My wife said that when I got a dog, I could get a motorcycle. We got the dog 10 years ago, and I don't got a motorcycle. So our dog's almost dead, and I still don't have a motorcycle. So before it dies, I got to get that motorcycle, right? And my wife said, when I told her I got the, she says, now, James, we need to pray about it. And I said, I did. And God said it was okay. And she said, no, we need to pray about it. Because so this message is a little tough for me to preach by saying she is wisdom, but I'm going to preach it. Are you with me this morning? Okay. So wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice to the public square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech. Okay? Wisdom, wisdom is not shy. She's not trying to stay quiet. She is loud, she is bold, and she wants to be heard. Wisdom is loud, she's bold, and she wants to be heard. It's such an important thing that we need to understand. We walk around and say, yeah, that's a person of wisdom, or that's a person of wisdom. Can I just say, anyone in here can be a person of wisdom if you just listen to the voice that wants to be heard. Wisdom is not trying to be quiet. Wisdom is not trying to be silent. Wisdom is not hiding itself from you where you can't find it. Every one of us in this room can hear the voice of wisdom, have heard the voice of wisdom, and can have wisdom if we would just open our ears. We shouldn't walk around with this arrogant sense that I have the gift of wisdom. We've all heard the voice of wisdom. We just haven't all listened to the voice of wisdom. There's this idea that you have to work to get wisdom, that you have to dig to find it. You got to pursue wisdom. What Solomon was saying is wisdom is at your front door when you walk out of your house. It is at the dinner table when you're sitting with your family. It is in your workplace when you're in a difficult situation. Wisdom is screaming out loud, please listen. It's not something you got to try to find. It is something that is already there. Wisdom is what you, and this is a loose definition of wisdom. Wisdom is what you ought to do based on how the world really works. God created the world, and how the world really works, God wants to help navigate us through the world, whether it's in school, whether it's at work or at home or play. God wants to navigate us through that, and wisdom is the voice that helps navigate us through that period of time. For instance, it is wise to wear a parachute when you're jumping out of an airplane, right? There's no law that says you have to. You want to jump out of an airplane, go ahead. Without a parachute, but it would be wise to wear one. It's wise to wear a helmet when riding a motorcycle. I get that one. It is wise to drink lots of water when the temperature is over 90 degrees. Amen. It is wise to finish high school, right? No law to do it, but it's wise. It's wise to meet your girlfriend's family before getting married. You shouldn't meet them for the first time at the wedding. Right? Just a little bit of advice. It's wise to have a colonoscopy if you're over 55 years of age. See, that was a voice of wisdom right there, and some of you are saying, I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. Right? It's wise to cheer for the Packers. Just based on history. Right? It's wise. You don't have to, but it would be wise. Right? Wisdom and common sense can overlap, but wisdom isn't always common sense. They can overlap, but it's not always, you know, and there's a voice, a lot of times we avoid the voice of wisdom. When the voice of wisdom comes, it comes and it speaks to us, and we pretend like we didn't hear it, or I didn't want to hear it. Like, okay, that's probably the better thing, but I'm going to pretend like I didn't hear it. Like, na 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 na, right? Go back to Proverbs. How long will you simple one? There's three questions we're going to look at. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? The word simple here is talking about being naive. How long will you naive ones love your naive ways? You know, we live in a world that celebrates youth, and it's great to be young, right? But how many know eventually you grow old, right? You can't stop the clock of time. But it's interesting because we're living in a climate right now where youth, and I think probably throughout history it's been this way, but young people tend to think they know everything, right? And what this verse is saying, there's three questions that Solomon's asking. How long will you naive young people think you got it all figured out, that you won't honor and respect and listen to those who have gone before you? The wisdom of those who are older than you. One of the people in your three, one of the people of your three should be someone who's lived longer than you, is older than you, and has been down the road you've been down. But many of us in our life, think of one person. Right now, in your life, consider one person that you have in your life that has the ability to speak into your life, that could show up at your front door, that could show up at your workplace, and walk into your office or into wherever you're at and say, listen, I've been praying or I've been watching, and this is something you're doing that could get you in trouble, and you would sit there and shut up and not be defensive. Right? Now, can I tell you, some of you are never going to shut up, and you're going to be defensive, and you will listen eventually. Right? How many know what I'm talking about? You're defensive, you talk, you try to defend, but in the end, you think about what they're saying, and that person will know that about you, that you're going to argue the point, and you're going to be defensive, and you're going to do, but later on, you're going to stop, and you're going to think about what they say, and you're going to listen to them, and you'll probably end up doing what they say because you're a smart person. Right? But who in your life right now, think about that person, okay? You got that person in their mind? Some of you are saying, technically, there's not many people older than me. Okay, if you're that old that everybody you did look at are now dead, you're good. Okay, you're good. You're good. Because you already have all the wisdom you're going to need for this life. You really do, okay? But you need to share it with us. Who in your life, are you thinking of that person? Are you thinking that person? Okay, now let me ask you this question. Do they know they're that person? Have you had a conversation with them where you sat down with them and said, I respect you, I love you, and I need your help. Will you be someone who seeks the Lord for me? Will you be someone that speaks into my life? Will you be someone that I listen to because I honor and respect what God has done in your life and where you've been because I need your protection? There should be someone younger than you, someone older than you, and someone your age. Does that make sense? Yeah. You say, this isn't a normal sermon. No, it's not. This is a very practical thing that's extremely important for the well-being of our spiritual life. We need three. Jesus had Peter, James, and John that around him. It didn't fit that dynamic, but he had three companions that were there at any time. Now, they didn't correct Jesus. Jesus kind of corrected him. He was perfect. That is a little problem. You're not perfect. Just want to let you know that. That may be a shock for some. We have a nurse in the back if you're about ready to faint. Okay? How long will you refuse to acknowledge that those who are older may be wiser and those who are older can and should be learned from? Now that was terrible. How many older people in the room should be saying amen right now? Okay. How many older people in the room should say amen right now? You've been sitting there feeling like you're on a shelf and no one thinks you have anything to offer and to give, but you do, right? It's wisdom, it's experiences. You can have a high IQ and be as dumb as a box of rocks. Right? Because you don't have the experiences. You don't have the things where you've gone through life and you've experienced things, and experiences give wisdom. Here's the second question that they give. How long will mockers delight in mockery? What this is there are those who listen to the voice of wisdom. They listen to the voice of wisdom. And when I say the voice of wisdom, Do you know what I'm talking about? It's when you got to make a decision and you hear that voice in the back of your head said, that's not smart to do it that way. And you're like, oh, I should listen to the voice in the back of my head that says it's not, I won't do it that. Or I should listen to the person who came to me. All right? And you listen to the voice of wisdom and you do the voice of that. But those who don't do the voice of wisdom end up trouble. That person who listens to the voice of wisdom, there are those who mock people who listen to the voice of wisdom. It says, how long will you be naive to think you know it all? You don't need other people's wisdom, the voice of wisdom. Now, the second question is, how long are you going to mock people who listen to the voice of wisdom? People who tithe, people who are in a small group, people who love other people who serve people. We mock and laugh at them as if they're dumb, and that's exactly what the voice of wisdom is saying. She's talking about how long will you mock and delight a mockery. Here's the third one. And fools hate knowledge. Here's the third thing. How long will you despise the voice of wisdom? How long? You ever ask a person, you know that's going to hurt you. Yeah, I know. Then why are you doing it? Because I don't care. I know it's the right thing to do, but I don't want to do it, so I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to do whatever I want. I'm a free bird, free spirit. Man, I just do my thing. I blow in and blow out. You know, I'm just going to, well, you know that's going to hurt. That action's going to hurt you. Yeah, maybe, maybe not, but whatever. I'll deal with it when I get there. I just like flowing the way I'm, you know, peace, man. Everything's cool, right? It says, how long are you going to be foolish where you know that that's not healthy? How long will you do that? You know, there are things today that literally in our culture, all of the boundaries have been almost laid down. If you're single today, the culture says, man, you need to sleep with someone before you get married to them to know. And they use this analogy. You don't buy a pair of shoes before you try them on. That is the stupidest analogy I've ever heard in my life. I mean, are you high? Because you got to be high to even think that's smart. Right? The reality is you need to keep yourself pure, because the one gift I wanted to give my wife when we got married was my virginity. There was nothing else I could give her that I hadn't given anyone else but that. And there's something pure and holy about that. There are other things. You say, well, now you're getting condemning and legalistic. No, this isn't about salvation, and this isn't about compassion. This is about free will. We have choices, and our choices have consequences. And whether you're a believer and you're saved or not, your choices have consequences. Look at the next verse. If you had responded or repented, is in the earlier version of the NIV, it says, if you have responded, repented to my rebuke, wisdom is saying this, if you had changed your way of thinking, if you had changed your direction, if you had thought differently to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. Wisdom's like, I will give you as much wisdom as you want. You just have to ask. You just have to listen. You come to me and say, God, I need wisdom, and God says, I'm going to give it to you. James says, if you ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you freely, abundantly, without finding fault. That God wants to give you wisdom. God wants to help you navigate through this. Next verse. He wants to give. But since you rejected me when I called, no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand. Since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I'll mock when calamity overtakes you. Some of you are thinking, wow, that's pretty bold stuff. Where did the Jesus loves me go? Right? I kind of like that a little better. He's not talking. This isn't talking about Jesus. First of all, this isn't talking about God or Jesus. This is wisdom speaking. It's the woman of wisdom that's saying, I will laugh. Listen, she's saying, I was going to give you. I told you not to go down there, but you didn't listen to. You mocked me. You said you didn't care what I have to say. Now I sit here and just laugh because you fell into the trap that I try to keep you out of. You went to that place, and then you sit there and you blame God for it. I'm angry at God. Why are you angry at God? Because he's not working in my marriage. Well, why is he not working your marriage? Well, he did tell me not to marry the person. And I went and did it anyway. Now it's God's fault that I used my free will and decided to do something that the woman of wisdom tried to tell me not to do. I'm so far in debt, and where is God? God told you not to buy that BMW on a $30,000 salary. It was not enough. Right? But I'm angry at God. Why? Because God's not doing a miracle in my life. You're living. God's doing a miracle. You're still alive. God is sustaining you, but there are consequences to the free will decisions that we make. Again, this is not about salvation. It's a free gift of salvation. God gave us the free gift of salvation. It's not about compassion, because we know Jesus died on the cross because of compassion. He cares about us. Now, you got to understand this. See, Jesus died, went to the cross, not because he wanted all authority. He already had all authority. He didn't go to the cross to be God. He was already God. He didn't go to the cross to be something else. He didn't need to be anything else. He was everything. He went to the cross for you. And only for you. And he died on the cross to give you salvation because he loves you. He wants relationship with you. And there are decisions that we make out of free will where God is not forcing us to make decisions. I want to address this one thing. I didn't do it in the first service, and I want to do this now. You know, the enemy of wisdom is I want to. It's passion. It's I want to. So think of it this way. You know what's right to do, but I want to. Almost every regret in your life comes out of this sense of knowing you should have done something else before it ever happened, and then your want to got in the way, and you said, I'm going to do it. Why? Because I know it's probably not the right thing to do, but I want to. I really shouldn't eat this chocolate cake. That's like a universal term. When I'm offering someone like a piece of ice cream or a bowl of ice cream or a piece of cake, and I say, would you like this bowl of ice cream? And they say, I really shouldn't. Then I know they're going to eat it. Like, they just told themselves, I really shouldn't. But I really shouldn't buy this car, but I want to. I really shouldn't cheat on my wife, but I want to. I really shouldn't, you fill in the blank, but, right? The voice of wisdom is there, and many times we even verbally reflect what the voice is telling us. We'll even say, you know, I probably shouldn't cheat on my wife, but the voice of wisdom gave you that. You didn't say that on your own. It was the voice of wisdom that said you shouldn't. You should listen to yourself. Right? Are you with me this morning? Some of you say, no, I'm not listening to that voice. Right? So it says that, go back to that verse that we have. It says, I turn, laugh at your disaster. What wisdom is saying is, I am there. I tried to give you wisdom. I was speaking right up to the point when you shut the door on me and you did what you wanted to do. Now, this last week, I had an opportunity to be in a group of six people. And in the group of six people, they all proclaimed to be believers, but three of the six really kind of took this idea that God is God, they believed in God, but they didn't necessarily, they may have said they believed in the interaction of God, but their idea of God was that he was somewhere a long way away, kind of like your Uncle Bernie, right? Uncle Bernie, I love Uncle Bernie. He's just a great uncle, but he lives in San Bernardino, California, in a senior house, and every now and then I get a card from Uncle Bernie just to let me know he's still alive, you know, congratulating me on my anniversary or birthday, and I think Uncle Bernie is great, and I'll get a picture of him, and he's wonderful, and I see him out there, and he's there, but he's not involved in my life, right? And there are a lot of people that see God as Uncle Bernie. He's there. I love him. Every now and then we do Christmas and he shares something and they call him the Ancient of Days, that he's that old. Right? And he's in the senior housing thing and he's really not in touch with what's going on in our reality today. And I kind of, you know, he's there. And so I hear his voice every now and then, but it really is not, he's not involved with us, right? And there are a lot of people that call themselves Christians that believe that way. They're not believers, they're Christians. That's why church isn't important, all other stuff in the Bible, that's not just that. Because that's Uncle Bernie, man. He's in California. He's not in my life. Jesus died on the cross to be involved in your life. That's why he died. He didn't need to die on the cross if he wanted to be Uncle Bernie. Died on the cross because he wanted to be your bridegroom. He wanted to have an intimate relationship with you. He wanted to be involved with your life because he saw the decisions you were making in your life, and he wanted to be a voice of wisdom that would protect you and keep you from the destruction that's trying to overtake you. I hope you're hearing me this morning. This message is not meant to put you in the prison of obedience. This message is to release you into the liberty and joy of protection that God has for you. That if it's thou shalt not kill, the Bible speaks as a voice of wisdom. But how many know there are many decisions in life that you make that the Bible doesn't have a direct reference to? It's unclear of what the Bible is even speaking to that. And there is a voice of wisdom that God gives that speaks directly to the situation that you're in. And that voice comes, and when you're familiar with that voice, you know that is the voice of God. Look at the next verse. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. And that's what happens. When you don't listen to the voice of wisdom, all of these things overtake you. Your life begins to fall apart. Momentum stops. Things that were going well all of a sudden aren't going well. And you're sitting in there, and then that's where we usually look at God and we say, God, where are you? Why did you let me come to this place? Why am I here? God, I'm angry with you right now. God, I don't know if I believe you even exist. That's a good one. Because you know God exists. You wouldn't be talking to him. The only reason you're saying that is because you're trying to manipulate him into doing something that you want him to do so that he proves to you that he exists. God's a lot smarter than that. Right? How many know that's true? How many say, I've done that before? Some of you are thinking, I've done that before, but I don't know that I'm... How many know we've all done that before, right? You don't have to cower in the room because you're sitting among a bunch of failures. We've all tried that technique. That's as old as old can be. Everybody's tried that, try to manipulate God into doing, because we know, because we're great at shifting blame. We want to blame God for decisions we know we shouldn't have made. We want to blame God because we ignored the voice that tried to keep us from that in the first place. And where wisdom becomes who we are. When we take the crown of wisdom, Here is how you become a person with the crown of wisdom. You listen to the voice of wisdom, and your life prospers because you listen to it, and you begin to wear the crown of wisdom because you've listened to it. You know, oftentimes I hear people make this comment, and it's true. We're all saved by grace. By the way, this is a promise. If you think you can escape this, this is a promise God gives that when you ignore wisdom, you will face calamity. When you ignore wisdom, you will face distress. It's a promise. One of the things I've heard people say a lot is we're all failures. We're all sinners, right? We're all sinners, right? How many believe that, right? People try to explain away their mistakes and some of their actions because we're all sinners, rather than taking responsibility for the decisions they made and said some people decided to listen to wisdom and others have not. We're not all the same. Let me say that one more time. We're not all the same. There are some who are naive. There are some who are mockers. There are some who are fools, and there are some who have just enough faith to believe the voice of wisdom when it speaks, and they heed the voice of wisdom and they listen. Don't put people who listen to the voice of wisdom in the same boat as those who don't. Now, we're all God's children. We're all saved by grace. How many say, praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven? But we're not all protected. We're not all protected. We have the blood of Jesus. I get it. But we have made decisions. Some of us in the room, not maybe all of us in this room, have made decisions that have ignored the voice of wisdom in our life. And now we're dancing to the music of that song, and it's not fun. And it says, when we refuse to listen to the voice of wisdom, disaster strikes. Look at the next verse. Then they call to me, but I will not answer. They look for me, but they'll not find me. What he's saying is, the woman of wisdom is saying, listen, I warned you, and I warned you, and I warned you, and I warned you. And I said, don't go there, don't go there, don't go. Now, why would he warn you if there were no consequences for our actions? Right? Some of you say, no, I'm saved by grace. Praise the Lord. I don't have to worry. Really? Go rob a bank. Go rob a bank. When you rob the bank, see what the police say when you stand before the judge and said, judge, I'm saved by grace. Right? 10 years in prison. You can be saved in prison. Right? Go cheat on your spouse. See what happens when you come back to your wife and say, I just couldn't help myself. I just cheated on this other person. Just wanted to let you know. Thank God I'm saved by grace. See if your spouse says hallelujah. Right? Every promise has a precept. There are precepts. And the voice, the protection of God, which I love. How many know God's merciful? There are things that I've done that I haven't paid consequences for. How many know that's true, right? Because of the mercy of God. But how many know that mercy can be as much a harm to me as it can be a good for me? As you start getting away with things, you think, well, I can just get away with anything, and you just start walking down a road, and eventually, boom, it hits you. Disaster overwhelms you. And the voice of wisdom is sitting there talking to you, saying, don't go in there. Don't invest in that. Don't do it. Don't buy that car. Don't buy that car. But I want this car. I've always wanted a burnt orange Lamborghini. Don't buy that car. I haven't, by the way. Actually, I want a Harley Fat Boy. But don't buy that. I don't know why I can't buy it. I don't know why I shouldn't buy it. I've always wanted it. This is my dream. And God wants me to have dreams. He's wanting to prosper. God wants me to have. And then we start talking to ourselves, well, why God wants me to have what I want. And we ignore the voice of wisdom. Look in the next verse. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, honor and respect the Lord, since they hated it, they didn't choose to reverence what God was trying to tell them. And so people, when they're in pain, all of a sudden they come back to wisdom and they say, okay, now I'm in pain. Now I'm paying the consequences. Now I want to get out of the consequences as fast as I can. So God, I repent. Can I share? In every situation where a husband has cheated on the wife or a wife cheated on the husband, the person who did the offense is very apologetic, feels terrible. It's awful, right? But within a month to 2 months, they want to just get out of it as fast as possible. It's done. I've already paid my price. They're always like, how much longer do I need to pay, right? It is always the case with every one of us in this room. When we're in the situation, we look for the fastest road to get out of the consequences we're facing. And we come to wisdom. We say, okay, wisdom, help me now. It's too late. It's too late. You've already made the decision. You already did the thing. You did the deed. Wisdom can't help you out of the consequences. But you can go to wisdom to, how do I live in this place within this? Where do I go from here? Look at the next verse. Since they would not accept my advice or spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their skins. What or who you listen to will influence what you do. What or who you listen to will influence what you do. What or who? Are you listening to the voice of wisdom? Whether it's the voice God speaks to you or to people around you that you know hear from the Lord, are you listening? Or are you listening to the voice of I want to, and all of those people say, you deserve it. That's what you should do. Look at the next verse. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of the fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. That's a promise. That if you listen to the voice of wisdom, you're going to live in safety and be at ease without the fear of harm. How many say that is a good word? That is life. You know what I love about this message the most? Is that no matter what I'm going through in life, no matter what decisions I'm faced with, the Lord has said that there is a woman of wisdom, a voice of wisdom, that will always be speaking to me to help me in how to make the decisions that I'm going to face in the future. Isn't that great to know? That you're not alone. You don't need to figure it out on your own. All you have to do is say, okay, wisdom, where are you? Where art thou? I need your voice. I need to hear from you. Speak to me, wisdom. And she will speak loud. She will speak boldly. And she will speak openly to you about what you should do. And even though your want to may want to do something else, you say, God, I submit to the voice of wisdom, because in the end, I know your desire is to prosper me, protect me, keep me safe, so that I don't have to fear harm. Will you bow your head?